on chapter 3 of verse 12. Pressing on toward the goal. Not that I have already attained all this, says Paul, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and I'll say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is a living word, which speaks to our hearts. We pray that in this morning hour we might just reflect for a moment where we stand in your sight. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am guessing that most of us have passports, and I assume that Hamish had a passport all set up before he took off to Japan the other day.
Yeah, and he just got renewed, now that he wanted.
Because they only last 5 years nowadays, which means 4.5 years, because you've got to have them for at least 6 months after you start the journey. Well, a passport's an official document, of course, that says we belong to a particular country, and we're citizens of that country. And for most of us, I guess, that citizenship is here in New Zealand. The passport is a New Zealand passport. And of course, there are very elaborate devices to make sure that they're genuinely yours. We had to get ours renewed not so long ago, too. And they had a great deal of trouble getting the shadows out of my eyes or something. I had to go back a couple of times because it had to be done perfectly. And of course, they have eye scans when you go into countries these days, and you feel an absolute fool, but you've got to do it. So just to make sure that we have the right passport with us. Most of the passport photos look nothing like what we look like in actual fact. However, a Christian has dual citizenship. We're citizens of New Zealand, but together with other Christians, we're told in this passage here that we're also, like Paul says, citizens of heaven. A guy called Thomas Nash said, "Heaven is our heritage. Earth is but a player's stage." Heaven is our heritage. Earth is but a player's stage. Let me give you just two other quick quotes. Christina Rossetti, who was a 19th century poetess, said, "Heaven is the presence of God." And dear old Confucius, who said, "One picture's like 1,000 words, said, "Heaven is to be at one with God." And Paul was looking towards that time when he would be at one with God. What Paul is saying here is that we play out our lives now in the present in anticipation of the then. We're living in the present, but anticipating that one day it'll be even better. I remember the story of a young sailor, a Canadian fellow, young sailor on board a ship, and when he was on board the ship, he lost his passport. So so that every time the ship came into port, he could never disembark, because he couldn't prove his citizenship in any country, and he was stuck on that ship. Now, someone suggested he should get married and go on his wife's passport. And in fact, I'm told that he had a number of proposals, but he turned them all down, thinking that it was probably better to live on a ship single than to be tied down forever with a love relationship that wasn't. And, you know, I guess it's a bit like those two guys, those IT hackers, Snowden and Assange, who are stuck in a place now and they can't really get out of it. It's quite difficult. So I just want to ask this morning, is your passport for heaven up to date? See, there are a couple of things here. There's a therefore. There is this future goal, which is heaven, and there is this current commitment to live like Jesus now. Let's think firstly about that current commitment, the current state of play in your life and in my life. And I spend quite a bit of time, but been spending more time recently just thinking, what does the future hold? Where am I in God's economy at this point in time? Has God finished with me yet? Well, a couple of things to get our head around here. There's an acknowledgement by Paul who says, I am on a journey. But also that qualifier, which you've heard already, that he hasn't reached perfection yet. Verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in death and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. That's the future. Somehow in the future, that's what it's going to be like. Attaining the resurrection of the dead, becoming like him in death. But I haven't reached that goal yet. But I am passionate about this, says Paul. I am passionate about pressing on. And he's quite excited, if you look at these verses in the original, about all that he has as a citizen of heaven. But he is conscious that he doesn't own it completely. He said to the Corinthians, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is the part disappears. What is in part disappears. In other words, when Christ comes, it will all become clear for us. The glimpses that we get now will be like a full-blown picture. It will be no longer looking through the frosted glass, but through a clear pane. We know in a part now because the Spirit is working in our lives and he reveals certain things to us now, daily, moment by moment. God speaks to us and shows us just that glimpse of eternity. But one day it will be ours to take on board and appreciate for ourselves. Some years ago, a Christian poster depicted a skier leaning forward. You know what skiers do? Who does skiing here? Anybody do skiing? So you know that when you're going downhill, you're sort of lean forward and you've got to lean into the position to get both balance and momentum. And the caption was verse 13 on this particular thing. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. And that's like the skier pressing on, has their eyes firmly fixed on some goal down the track somewhere, concentrating, leaning into it. When Jackie and I first went to Indonesia in 1975, we'd only been there a few months when we heard that the session clerk from our last parish at Owakuni had died in a skiing accident on Mount Ruapehu. He went over a bluff. It's vital, you see, to concentrate on the way ahead because we can go off track if we don't lean into it. And so Paul is saying in these verses, I press on in that race to perfection, knowing that he still had some way to go. And you might just picture in your own mind, you let your mind just picture this, what to the readers was fairly well known. They were in a stadium were the track for races, and down the sides were the tiers of seats for spectators. And in Athens, I'm told, by Googling, that the length of the course is 1/8 of an old Roman mile. It was about 607 feet, or approximately 200 metres. That was the length of the track at Athens. In Ephesus, it was a bit longer, apparently. And the goal was to run from one end to the other. And the goal was opposite the entrance to the stadium. So they would keep their eye on that entrance to the stadium. And when the rope dropped, because they had a rope in front, and when that dropped, they were off. They had those blocks for their feet. They were probably made out of stone. And sometimes they would run two or three times up and down to the race, but all the time they were firmly fixed on the goal of winning a race. And you can imagine the effort that was going on in that race. There was that straining, even their teeth would be gritted as they pressed on and as they were determined, very focused, letting nothing divert them, no turning back. And Paul is saying in verse 15 here that all of us should be so, who are mature and with experience and a bit of sense, should be so focused. We should be focused on Christ. And if you think any differently, he says, I pray that God will show you that. I pray that God will clarify that for you so that together we may keep on track. But unfortunately, we live in a life today. We live out our Christian life even. There are those who've allowed themselves to get distracted. And like my session clerk, not here, but the session clerk, and I'm repeating, take a tumble. And that has the possibilities always of being fatal, spiritually speaking. Described here as enemies of the cross. People who just want an easy way through life. Deviating here, there, everywhere. Without keeping that focus. Well, what are some of the things that might cause some distraction? Now, please note, I'm not passing judgment on these things at all, just things that occurred to me. Neither am I saying that they're 100% wrong, unless these things so preoccupy our lives, so possess our thinking, that they blot out the real important thing in Christ. I've just jotted one or two things. You'll form your own list. I think today there's an overemphasis on sport. Now, I love sport. I used to play senior cricket, and I did okay. But for me, it would have been a big diversion if I had allowed that to dominate my life entirely. Now, there's a rugby test being played right now in Argentina, right at this very moment. And if I catch anybody looking down at their iPhones or anything, you can tell me the score later. For another person, it might be clothes. An obsession with clothes. Well, we all need them. At least I hope we do. But enough is enough. Food might be an obsession for some people. Or if you're a follower of Imelda Marcos, you might find shoes as something that is a passion that takes you away from that which is important. Physical charm and good looks might be something that dominates people's... I mean, it's not a worry of mine, but it might be a worry of some other people's. You see all this sort of stuff being advertised on television to try and make you look good. Or even, and this is the last thing I've mentioned here, work. Work can be a distraction. Work is important. There's nothing wrong with any of these things in the big picture, but it's only when they're more important than our faith. Then they become enemies of the cross of Christ. And such have a mindset focusing entirely on earthly things, says Paul. But surely there's more to life than eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Life must have a purpose. A purpose that is far greater than sports or clothes or good looks or even work. There is an eternal purpose. Shakespeare once said in Macbeth, and I hope I've got this quite right, it's something like this anyway, that life is but a passing shadow that struts and frets its hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. I don't think he quite got that right, because we may be heard no more in this life, but we will be heard in heaven, because we have our passport up to date and will gain entrance. Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Of course, another version says it, but there's a far more to life for us. We are citizens of high heaven. Pressing forward, not looking in the mirror all the time, but keeping our eyes on the road ahead. There's an old song that said something about that too, I can't remember. In order to win the prize. Like many analogies, of course, there are limitations, and when we think of a foot race, in fact, any sort of race, there is only one winner. The others come second or third or even further down the track. They might have tried their darndest. They might have even had a personal best, but they don't get a gold medal because there's only one who gets it. In fact, if it's a long race, the TV commentators have probably gone home anyway and have forgotten all about you. But in the race for eternity, there are no placements such as gold or silver or bronze. For all who have followed Jesus, all who have their passport stamped, will get a winner's crown. And the poorest person in the world, the sort of people that Jeff was praying about in parts of Africa at the present time, they will get into heaven just as likely as Billy Graham will, or any other well-known Christian. And while some, perhaps the majority of people, are focused on present experiences, real Christian discipleship takes a longer view, is focused on the hope, is focused on the expectancy of Christ's future coming. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, it's another reminder based on the same analogy of running, where Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, don't you know that you're in a race and all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get a prize. That's important. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to win a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like someone who runs aimlessly, says Paul. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air, or I was thinking of one of those air guitar type things that they have competitions for. No, I strike a blow to my body and make my body a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified for the prize. Current commitment to train with a future goal, where the perishable gives away to the imperishable. Paul says, no sloppy living for me. He said, I'm staying in top condition, spiritually speaking. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everybody else all about it, and then missing out for myself. And in the busyness of life, these things can so easily distract us, so easily turn us away from the prize. And with that confidence, Paul would say, as he did in verse 17, join together in following my example. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And that's why it's important to be part of the body of Christ and church. Because if we disappear from churches, if we go our own sweet way, we don't have that encouragement. We don't have that support. People don't ask us, how are you getting on spiritually? The day will eventually come when we meet with Jesus face to face. Something that he was eagerly looking forward to. Something to eagerly wait for us as well. Where he will transform, as he says, our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We live now as a citizen of this world. But at the same time, we have eyes fixed on a future goal. We're citizens of this world and the next as Christians. We have a passport for the press and travels that allows us to go right around the world. Have we got our passport already for eternity as well? Will we get through the heavenly passport control? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are living, in a sense, as citizens of two worlds, this world and the next. And we thank you that Paul's made that quite clear for us and what we must do as we seek to press on towards the goal. We pray that we might be found to be spiritually fit, that we will keep up our prayer life, we will keep up our Bible reading, we will keep up our fellowship with other Christians as we serve in the wider world today. So Lord, we pray these things and ask that you will touch our hearts afresh. We long to serve you in Jesus' name.